We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
CJ on the
Welcome in to the DNVR Draft Podcast. It's a good one today. It was a fun week last week, though we do have some sad news on the injury front. We've got the whole crew and a bonus crew member all together here. We might actually have a state college D1 in this state playing a game like within the immediate future. I don't know what is happening. I can hardly contain my excitement. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. If you're not on DraftKings, I don't know what you're doing. The draft pod can guide you with some great bets as well. We'll get into some of that too. As usual, Henry Chisholm is here with us. We've got Jake Schwanitz as well. And big shout out to Justin Michael, also here on the show. How are you doing, fellas?
Fantastic. Doing
good.
Yeah, great.
Love it. Love it. I know Henry's excited about the Buffs. Henry's got Buffs fever. You're ready for that to start off. Jake's really happy about Michigan. And again, Justin might actually cover a real game. Like in the near future. But let's get into the Big Ten, the games that were played. I think we have to start with Justin Fields and how insanely good he looked, just tearing apart Nebraska this week.
Yeah, almost wasn't even fair for Nebraska.
Truly.
20 of 21, extremely efficient. You saw the athleticism. He's a true dual threat quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
And it's... I kind of want to pump the brakes a bit just because it's Ohio State and they just had such an easy time shredding Nebraska that it was, I mean, the game, it was close for a bit. Nebraska scored on the opening drive, but Ohio State is Ohio State. They responded quickly and lethally. So I just want to see more, I guess, especially against tougher competition at this point, but a good start for Justin Fields. He has a lot of ground to make up on Trevor Lawrence.
Wouldn't you say there was an encouraging sign? Now, side note, you're right. Nebraska, under Frost, maybe regressing in looking like their talent level can compete with the tippy top in the Big Ten Conference. That really stood out. But
I thought they looked better than they'd looked in 2 years. But that's
offensively or defensively or both?
Offensively. I mean, defensively, yeah. Nobody in the Big Ten is going to contain Ohio State consistently. But I don't
consistently.
What he brought in that backfield, I liked what I saw. I'm not a Martinez guy, but I'm just saying I wouldn't be completely dismissive of Nebraska as opponent.
I love the McCaffrey packages.
Yeah.
Outside, but again, it's a very like Scott Frost. It's similar to how Matt Nagy has built the offense for the Bears in the NFL, where they're all perimeter. All the talent is at, I mean, supposedly is at wide receiver and running back and tight end and maybe quarterback, where they have invested high picks and, you know, some decent chunks of change in cap. But then the O-line is so bad that on fourth and one, they have to run an outside toss. And that's essentially where Nebraska is out right now. In the trenches, in the meat and potatoes of that team is not up to the standard of the Big Ten. But back to Fields. What impressed me was the deep ball throwing, because he's absolutely a dual threat. I think maybe the biggest question mark, not to the extent of like with the Trey Lance, but it is a decent question mark, is he too much of a run first quarterback? And when you have games like that, when that deep ball accuracy is flashing as well as it was, and even the mobility within the pocket, I thought it was a really, really nice start. Hank, Justin, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah. I mean, you basically hit the nail on the head. 20 of 21 completions. I think that's what really stands out to me, because 20 guys are so talented and will give you the flashes, like show you the deep ball that Justin Fields showed you. But when you're playing against lesser competition, what really impresses me is just being that efficient, just taking everything that the defense gives you, just working down the field, slowly giving yourself a 52-17 win. Like, that guy just looked like he didn't belong with everybody else there.
Yeah.
I will say, and then
go ahead.
It seems like, you know, he is an athletic quarterback. He obviously likes to use his legs at times, but watching him in that game, it looked like when he was moving, he was, you know, still looking downfield, looking to throw. It wasn't a situation where, you know, he was constantly just bailing and relying on his legs. I will say that spin move in the third quarter, sick. Lamar-esque to score. I that one made me jump out of my seat.
I'm struggling to find comps with him. I see a lot of stuff. He reminds me of a lot of different guys. I'm still trying to figure out who exactly he's going to stick to, but there's a lot of talent. Small theme of this show is going to be going back to revisit the mock you and I did, Jake, on that part two of the pod last week. I think Fields after that one is going second overall over Penei Sewell, which of course was a toss up for us.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, again, we have to wait and see where the teams fall and who's actually going to be in that two slot. Mm-hmm. But if it's a team like the Washington football team that definitely has a void at quarterback, I mean, it's a no-brainer at this point, I think. I just want to see him tested a bit. I mean, I think that's fair to ask at this point.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, like Hank said, extremely efficient, no interceptions. Can't really ask for much more against Nebraska.
Yeah. What really disappointed me, though, was the running backs. Like, watching those guys with Trey Sermon and Master Teague, like, I thought Trey Sermon was going to be the next big thing, but
Bad game.
Yeah, that was ugly.
With that O-line, you cannot run like that. Kind of makes us feel better about J.K. Dobbins. You know, J.K. Dobbins, tough eval, because everything he's doing, he's got a hole like for the first 10 yards. But after seeing that one, and then shout out to Chris Olave, the Ohio State wide receiver, looked outstanding. Shame he gets banged up towards the end of that. But another guy, you know, to add to all the phenomenal wide receivers that we have in this class. Yeah, I would. I guess we should go to the next big game in the Big Ten, which was Michigan really stomping down on Minnesota. It was, I mean, there's a few different storylines here. For one, Michigan seemed to have joined modern football on offense. Like, maybe the wackiest thing that's happened in 2020. I say, you know, I joke, of course, but still, that was pretty wild. But really, the meat and potatoes of my Minnesota upset not working out was that Michigan defense. Whew, they are phenomenal up front. Crazy. They've lost so much talent the last few years and are still just loaded, man. That was impressive.
I went down a bit of a rabbit hole last night about the Michigan defense, because I just saw something pop up on Twitter explaining what the scheme was. And it wound up being like probably at least an hour of just reading through all the stuff. But basically, like, the PJ Fleck offense, which is all just like the RPO stuff, and they do it very well. But what Michigan did was every time that Tanner Morgan looked to the sideline to get the play call, because he did that basically every snap, they would move. They just go from a too high look, or no, they would flip it from one high to two high, totally change everything that's going on, giving Minnesota not enough time to change to something that makes more sense. And this is another little tangent from that, but a lot of the offense, almost all of that offense, is designed to throw the ball to like four different spots, and they're all on one half of the field, and they're the same four spots with different guys getting their different ways. And it kind of like opened my mind, and there isn't too much to take away draft wise from that, except that that terrifies me when looking at Tanner Morgan.
Yeah. Tanner Morgan, a very rough game. There Terrible. Was the sack he took, I can't remember what point of the game, but you could see Michigan. They had the slot defender and they were capping him right there at that safety. Herb Street pointed it out on the broadcast. Morgan misses it, gets absolutely killed, leads to a defensive touchdown for Michigan. So not a good look for him. Although Rashad Bateman had a really nice game. He looked the part and then some, man. Just long and fast. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Can we get into these Michigan guys, though?
Please, please. That's the meat and potatoes of this show, man.
So, Andre.
Guys that have you intrigued as a Broncos fan, yeah.
Absolutely. Both edges. Aiden Hutchinson, your guy, but Kwity Paye kind of took over the game, especially late.
Yeah.
He was extremely disruptive. Aiden Hutchinson, though, I would left the game really intrigued just with his size and length. He knows how to use it. He was really extending those arms and disengaging from blocks consistently. So just a terrific showing by those two guys. Jalen Mayfield, the right tackle, I thought had a great game too.
Yes. Yes.
And then I guess we're kind of burying the lead, but Joe Milton, the quarterback for Michigan, he's got something.
Truly. Yeah. Joe Milton. It's fun being on YouTube a lot, which I do. And the Joe Milton hype on YouTube is really taken off for all the yeah. film accounts that I follow on like college football stuff. But Justin, as a college football analyst and Broncos fan, your takeaways from this Michigan game?
Definitely. I'd like to go back to the modern offense aspect, because I think that's what's been missing for Michigan the entire time Harbaugh's been, you know, at the helm. They've basically trying to, you know, go in there and be tougher than some of these crazy explosive teams. And then they just end up getting blown out by Ohio State and some of these other programs every year. Their offense yeah. almost looked Ohio State-esque, you know, with the way that they were attacking. I love the versatility that Milton brings out of the backfield. I don't really know if he's an NFL guy, but, you know, they're really, really fun to watch. And he looks like to be a pretty decent thrower of the football.
Yeah. I mean, again, my friends on YouTube are already calling him the next Cam Newton, which seems ambitious, but bold. Bold. But I mean, it feels almost like that switch that Bama and Saban made, Justin, like what, four or five years ago?
When they brought in Kiffin, and they basically were like, you want to know what? We've been trying to do this for a decade. Everyone else has modernized. We have to do it if we're going to be able to compete with the elite. And you know what they have with Milton, Haskins, Chalamet in that backfield, man, it's just explosiveness all over the place. Mm-hmm. I felt bad for the Minnesota defense in the second half. I'll admit I kind of tuned out a little bit in the fourth quarter because I was following the Mountain West games at that point, and you know, Michigan kind of pulled away, but I was very impressed, and I'll be really looking forward to that Michigan Ohio State meeting down the line.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I referenced Alabama 5 years ago. We could talk about LSU a year ago. You know, these blue blood programs that modernize, aside from Texas, it seems to be working out for most of them.
Herman there at the end of the year? I know, dude, this has nothing to do with the draft, but
I highly doubt it.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
No way. He's been worse than Charlie Strong, arguably. I guess they did have that big bull win against Georgia. They're living off of that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Justin says in quotation marks. But back to Kwity Paye and Aiden Hutchinson and just this edge rushing class in general, because from a Broncos standpoint, that was my biggest takeaway from this game. because in general, we've been talking up the Georgia edge rushers. We obviously, Gregory Russo hasn't played, but he's kind of the top dog in the class. Quincy Roche, the other guy at Miami, has stood out. There's some guys, you know, the Penn State kid who we'll get into in a sec. And then that duo at Michigan. It's starting to look like a decent edge rushing class. I'm still hoping Xavier Thomas for Clemson finds the field at some time. It's weird we haven't mentioned a Bama guy, but it's kind of that year for Bama. When the Pac-12 returns, Hamir Rashad, the Oregon State kid, is going to be really intriguing as well. And, you know, we got to, what was it, the 13th pick with the Broncos in that mock, Jake. And the best players available to us were all back seven defenders. Two offensive tackles had gone already. And so we kind of looked at the defense, but we didn't talk about edge rusher because Russo was gone already. And Surtain, Dylan Moses, Caleb Farley, the top cornerbacks and linebackers, I guess maybe Parsons was still available. Those were our considerations. I'm wondering, after watching Quiddy Payne, which, please correct me if I'm saying this name wrong, that's definitely one I'm butchering here. But in general, I wonder if that, doing it a week later, we start talking about all those edge rushers I just rattled off a bit more.
Yeah, for sure. A bit on Quiddy Pay too. I mean, he's been there for a while. He was kind of with that group, Rashawn Gary and Chase Winovich. He was rotating when those guys were there. So this is an experienced player. This isn't some guy that's just popping up last week on Saturday. This is a guy that's kind of been around for a while.
Yeah.
So he kind of, he's got an opportunity here. We already talked about at length that this edge class hasn't really impressed yet. He's got an opportunity here to really improve his stock and kind of maybe seize a first round opportunity at this point.
Yeah. For sure. It's, you know, Russo's the guy who checks off all the boxes, looks the part, that linear edge. Ogiri, the Georgia guy, so bendy and like he's like the Elasto Man. Quiddy Payne, compact guy. Not sure who he reminds me of exactly. He's a little Melvin Ingram-ish, a little Bradley Chubb. Love that he was attacking off the edge, moving him inside. Really intriguing as kind of a movable chess piece as a modern pass rusher up there. And, you know, we like Malik Reed. Justin, this is a guy who, you know, in the Mountain West was a stud. I'm sure people are getting Shaq Barrett vibes after really his best career game against Kansas City, one of the few bright spots last week in Denver. But I think we can all agree that, you know, we still believe Von Miller has a little left in the tank, but it's time to look at other edge rushers to really take this defense, which has already looked good, back to that level of dominance that brought him to the promised land 5 years ago.
Yeah.
If only they wouldn't have let a guy get away to Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
But yeah, one more name to throw in there. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame. He isn't just a pure edge rusher, but he can do that. He can move around. He is for real, though.
He's been playing a lot more slot.
Pronunciation, Hank.
Yeah. Did I get it right? I think
I just slayed it. That was a pro.
Yeah.
JOK is what I'm going to call him from now on because I seriously cannot handle that dude's name.
Yeah.
And you know, Carlos Basham's there at Wake, who we were talking about Wake. Be careful, one of the best teams against the spread this year in the ACC. But no, it's a nice edge class. It's just not a ton of top 15 guys, but the door's open for guys like Payne and Aiden Hutchinson and so on, so forth, to really step it up and, you know, put their names in that conversation. With that, with Basham and the Wake Forest talk against the spread, I remind you, we are presented by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, the top-rated sportsbook app in the world. This week, for new users, they have an amazing offer. You know, I was bullish on Minnesota with this offer last week. That didn't work out because Michigan stomped them down and really won the game down in the trenches, as we were just talking about. But this week, I like the offer even more because you can pick either Penn State or Ohio State, bet $1 on one of the teams and cash. You can cash in to win $100. If they win, that's $1 to win $100 when you use promo code DNVR during sign up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus at first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Okay. We've gone away from this format a little bit, was the winners and losers on each week, but sadly we do have a couple losers because of some devastating injuries. We can start with the one that killed us most of all. Did we jinx this last week for saying Jalen Waddle with Ja'Marr Chase not playing had actually jumped into wide receiver one? Contention, like he was the front runner by that point. And just like that, we get reminded that it sometimes can be smart to hold out because the injuries will get you. I know for our panel, especially, this was extra devastating. Your thoughts on this, fellas?
Yeah, another tough injury. I mean, they're never hard or easy to watch, but this one, I mean, you could see as soon as it rolled up, Waddle was in extreme pain, and you just kind of knew at that moment it was probably over for the year for him. We talked about this before the show. Why is he returning kicks versus Tennessee? Please, someone tell me. I mean, come on, man.
Justin, you're incensed. I mean, you like
it makes no fucking sense. Excuse my language. He's your best offensive weapon, You know you're gonna stomp Tennessee. They're nothing.
Yeah.
Look, I get, you know, play your best players, put yourself in a spot to win, but sometimes you got to have some common sense. Don't run your quarterback when you're up 30. Don't put your best wide receiver at kick returner. I don't get it.
I know that was really rough because Justin, you weren't on the pod, but you were kind of echoing our same thoughts when you and I were chatting in private about how Waddle was really like looking like the top guy in the class. And what we've said over and over is another amazing wide receiver class. How did you rank the Bama wide receivers from last year with Ruggs and Judy in there?
Judy one, Waddle two, three, Ruggs. And people might be surprised by that just because, you know, Ruggs went number one in that class and he's got burner speed. Love him. Yeah. But Waddle's just so smooth and he's so versatile. I love, you know, just watching him out of his breaks and stuff, trying to keep up with him. Good luck. And it's just, it's a bummer. It's going to put a lot more pressure on Mac Jones, a lot more pressure on that running game. I'm not sure they're going to spread it out quite as much now. And then, you know, for a guy like Devonta Smith, who is a pretty talented wide receiver, actually he's caught, God, I don't know, like 25 touchdowns in his career. He has a ton of numbers.
I mean, arguably more productive.
Guys, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, Smith arguably more productive than your top three. I would rank him about the same. Yeah. But now, yeah, you're right. The onus is on him. And this is kind of the ultimate question with Devontae Smith. Is he looks great. Everyone loves him. But how much has he benefited from having those three studs around him? What happens now when he's the top dog? Because teams considering him with the top 15, top 20 pick, they're likely looking at him to be their wide receiver one anyways. So now this really does switch things up for Devontae Smith, and it switches things up for Mac Jones. And quickly, Justin, what are your thoughts on Mac Jones as a pro prospect? We got into him a little bit last week. Draft range, NFL comps, how have you liked him so far?
My man, Money Mac, out here just leading Bama Money all Mac. Season. Look,
let's do it.
I think you kind of have to bring the Ohio State situation in where you talk about he has a ton of talent around him. His receivers have been very open all year. He's not, you know, it's not like he has to throw consistently into these crazy tight windows or anything like that. But he's made great decisions with the football. I've loved his presence in the pocket. I mean, he's got a 6-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. I mean, to me, he looks like a more talented, more athletic AJ McCarron in the sense that he runs the system perfectly, but Mac actually has the ability to beat you by himself, whereas AJ was kind of, you know, just a system guy, plug and play, get the ball to the skill guys.
Yeah, we were mulling over like Dwayne Haskin comps.
That's probably fair.
Jared Goff. Honestly, in a McVay type system, I would really prioritize someone like Mac Jones if I could get him in like day two, and you start to feel like, huh, if Goff is too expensive and just like never hits the next level, I could groom someone to be like 95% of what he is, you know. That's where it's intriguing. The other big loss of the week, Hank, was Penn State, you know, their entire backfield gets depleted. What do they call them? They call them like the Money Boys or something. Like,
oh, boy. Boy. I mean, that's just college football.
When everybody, you come up with stupid nicknames, though.
Did you see Jalen Waddle like smoking a cigar in the ambulance with the rest of like the skill position players?
I mean, that's part of the Tennessee Bama tradition is the winning team smokes cigars. So they wanted to celebrate with Waddle. Yeah, Tennessee hasn't smoked cigars in a long time, folks. But no, Journey Brown, bummer, dude.
Yeah, seriously, Journey Brown. There have just been so many guys. I remember, I just keep thinking back to like maybe it was the first podcast or the second draft podcast we did this year. Now I was really excited for Penn State. I actually thought that this was going to be a really fun team. Such a deep backfield. You have Pat Freiermuth that you can work off of, and it just seemed like it was going to be a lot of fun at the very least. But you lose Journey Brown. Let's see. You lose, who's the other one? Noah Cain is out. They'd already lost the guy whose name I'm blanking on already. But they're seriously, all that running back depth, for me as a Colorado reporter, yesterday the story I wrote was, it sounds like there are four backs that the Buffs want to play. Darian Hagan, the running backs coach, says that he can only play three of them. What do you do? But then you look at a situation like this, and you're just like, I guess that just happens. But it does kind of mean that Penn State – has nothing.
They're in trouble. That Ohio State game does not look great for them.
No.
Is Indiana for real, guys?
I don't know. Are we willing to go that far?
You know, they've been tough. Trending they the right tough. Way for a they minute have. Now.
But just this saying, is
keep an eye on them.
The, Indiana does this though, man. They play these teams pretty tough in the Big Ten, and then, you know, next week they'll get blown out by 40. So it's, they do this where they can kind of compete 1 week, and then the next week they're just, they don't even look like the same team.
This weekend might be the most interesting Indiana Rutgers game in decades.
Seriously.
Probably in Big Ten history since Rutgers has been in the conference.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Indiana plays Michigan the week after, though. That'll be where we learn.
That'll be great, with Michigan coming off of Minnesota and then their in-state rivalry probably overlooking the Hoosiers a little bit. That'll be fun. Let's get into this upcoming week. We've got Justin on, so and you know, it's harder for the Group of Six conferences to lock into the best pro prospects because, like, let's face it, the best pro prospect in the Mountain West this year, for example, was Warren Jackson, a talent you are very much familiar with, Justin. But unfortunately, we won't be seeing him on the field, and you know, as is the case with all the top conferences, you're not seeing some of the top talents. But obviously in the Mountain West, we don't have, it's not like the SEC that's 50 deep. So it shrinks our sample size a little more. So I don't want to put you on the spot with any prospects that, you know, just listing off. But as we get into like Boise State, Air Force, and I know Donald Hammond, the Air Force quarterback, has some buzz as a running back wide receiver. And I don't know, like, is Jalen Walker for Boise the corner, is he playing?
I believe so, but yeah, Hammond is actually out of the picture now. He's no longer on the roster at Air Force.
I forgot they've
got a really weird situation going. I think they lost like 35 players or something because of the opt-out stuff when the Mountain West initially announced that they were going to cancel their season. They looked really good in that first game against Navy, I believe it was, the Service Academy.
Yep.
But one of the things I was talking about was, you know, they basically just scripted for that Navy game for a month. That's all they focused on. Last week, they really got exposed by San Jose State. They don't have great depth defensively. They got picked apart by Nick Starkle, the Arkansas transfer. it could be a long year for the Falcons.
Nick Starkle is actually my former roommate's cousin. So we've been following Nick Starkle for the last 6 years or so.
So you're saying Henry and I leaning on the plus 14 for Air Force might be a terrible decision?
I think that Boise wins this game by 3 scores plus.
They do have Caden Remsburg, though.
But you never know. Calhoun teams are so well coached. They fight everyone hard.
Yeah.
They actually have played Boise very well over the last decade.
Yes.
Maybe don't sleep on them too much. It is at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Caden Remsburg, though, is he like a slot back or wing back, whatever they call it in their system? He's somebody who I would target in the draft. If you're looking for like a late round running back, somebody who comes out of an Air Force system who like hasn't been used in a traditional running back way, but he's like 5'9", 180 and is just a flyer. I think that there's a lot of upside in terms of like what you could fit him into, whether he's like an Austin Eckler, whether he moves to like the slot or something. But he's definitely somebody who, as a senior now, I'm really excited to watch.
I think the problem with the service academy guys is you just never know what the laws are going to be regarding their service. It seems to flip back and forth every couple of years. It's one of those, if I have him this year, probably worth, taking a 7th round flyer on him. If he's going to go have to serve for 2 years first, probably not worth it.
Yeah.
What sucks is it kills the kids more than anything, because I think a lot of teams would love that military background and would grade that as a plus, but then it's because it creates so much uncertainty, it works completely against you. And I think we've seen some great talents come out of Navy and Air Force and Army the last few years, but we're just the added complications just make it too hard and it stinks. Give us a quick preview of tonight's game, Justin.
It's going to be interesting. CSU probably going to rock 2 quarterbacks. Kevin Lytle, the Coloradoan, reported that Todd Centillo, the Temple transfer, will be the first one starting. Ooh. I think part of that has to do with Patrick O'Brien missed some time in camp. So it's been a weird deal. It's going to be weird tonight. CSU is going to miss some offensive starters for COVID reasons. I can't really burn my source on that one, so I can't put the names out there, unfortunately. But we're going to see some unique guys get touches tonight. CSU is missing some starters, so I if you're looking at this game from a betting perspective, I'd consider the under.
All right. I love that. On that note, we should get into the big games for this week beyond the Mountain West. And I say let's start from Georgia, Kentucky, where Landon Young has been graded as the SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week, really under the radar. Frankly, I wouldn't know about him if it wasn't for our buddy, Kentucky UDFA. He's going against that great edge rushing duo who I love, Ujiri and Adam Anderson, who might be the more raw talented guy. And beyond that, I mean, we've talked about this. Georgia's one of those must watch teams for Broncos fans because of all the talent they have at on defense, especially at key areas of need for the Broncos. Monty Rice, the linebacker, Tyson Campbell, the cornerback, and just talent all around. Their defensive line is stacked too. Kentucky here, kind of a sneaky home dog at plus 16.5. Your read on this, fellas?
Man, I kind of expect Georgia to run away with this one again. I think this is going to be a real lunch pail game. Both these teams kind of have that tough, hard-nosed attitude. I just think Georgia, we're just going to see you've talked about the Kentucky guys in the trenches. I still think Georgia has a bit of a gap or lead in the talent department there. So I mean, that number 16.5 is pretty big, but
it's juicy.
I don't know. I mean, I think Georgia's going to pull it away late.
That Kentucky D is well coached too, but with such an even matchup, typically the talent on offense that Georgia has is going to overcome it. So that we were both leaning towards taking the dogs and running with the points, right, Henry, when we did this on bets yesterday?
Yeah. I mean, Kentucky, I really like what they're doing. I think they're going in the right direction, but college football, it's just everything is built on tiers, and you look at the top and it's Clemson and Ohio State and Bama, And then there's this next tier, and that's where Georgia fits in. And Kentucky just isn't quite ready to hang with Georgia at this point. I think 16.5. Honestly, I'd be more comfortable taking like the Kentucky team under than the 16.5, just because I wonder how much Georgia will score. But I would take Georgia.
In general, feels like a bit of an under game. Justin, thoughts on this SEC East bout?
The spread scares me from a Georgia perspective. I do think they win this game comfortably, but like Henry said, I could see a situation where they kind of just run the clock out in the second half, especially if they get up, you know, 14 or 15 or there. I could see potentially losing that one on a bad beat, but I do think Georgia wins it rather comfortably. Maybe consider the under. I don't, you know, with the talent that Georgia has defensively, I don't expect Kentucky to put a lot of points on the board.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I'm going to move on to Texas, Oklahoma State. This is actually, from a draft perspective, a nice little matchup. Henry, I'll let you start this off.
Which one was it? I was distracted.
No, Texas at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I do like Oklahoma State. I really like Oklahoma State, and I really don't like Texas. And we talked about this a little bit on bets, but this seems like if you're making picks, this is an Oklahoma State pick week. Chuba Hubbard, though, is where my eyes are going to be.
Looked great last week.
Sure did.
Great against Iowa State. He was awesome.
Meanwhile, Texas is just so disappointing. And I know that that has kind of been a trend, but every time it just Sam Ellinger is not that good is where it starts. And I think that they have a lot of guys like that where it's just a little bit too much hype and not so much substance.
All fizzle, no sizzle. I don't know. Is that a thing? Jake, I've been disappointed in like Cosme this year. I don't think he's that great.
Yeah, Texas, I mean, just a disappointment, I think, at every position. Cosme hasn't played great. No. And to Hank's point, while Sam Ellinger isn't that great, he's probably their best player easily, which doesn't really bode well for them. Defensively, they've been so up and down. I mean, has anyone noticed Caden Stearns really at all this year?
Nope.
Because
nope.
He hasn't popped to me once.
Big expectations. Joseph Osai, another edge rusher, the one edge rusher I didn't rattle off when we were talking about those guys earlier. Two, like, yeah, you're right. Kind of a disappointment all around.
Yeah. I think Oklahoma State takes this pretty easily. What's the spread on this one?
Just 3.5.
I mean, but you never know with Texas. This could be a close game all the way down. But
yeah, and it scares me taking all these favorites in college football because, you know, the Power Five upsets are right around the corner. Justin knows. Justin, you're a man. You're 40. Well, your thoughts on this Oklahoma State game?
Never trust a Gundy team, ever.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so
I like
true.
That.
They didn't cover the spread by a half point last week.
They're the best team in the Big 12, but
yeah.
This game just Texas is one of those teams, like Jake said, that just always seems to hang no matter what. Yeah. Whether it's a bad team, they hang around them, or a good team, they hang around them. They just keep the score kind of close, and then they choke in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
3.5. I feel pretty comfortable taking it, I guess, just with the talent disparity right now, but. I don't know, man. Gundy teams have let me down for years, and I've learned my lesson.
What do we think about this over-under, though? Just looking through these numbers. So
what's that at?
Texas is scoring. I haven't pulled that up, if you want to pull it up. Oh, wait. Okay. Actually,
I got it.
58.5. But Texas has scored 45 points a game. Oklahoma State has scored 28.5 points per game. A 17-point spread. Defensively, Texas has given up 32.2. Oklahoma State has given up 12.
Yeah,
like,
with
an easier. I have no idea what to do.
I think you hammer the over. I think you just outlined it perfectly. Oklahoma State, the one thing that worries me, aside from their defense and classic program where if Gundy can get that 4-star edge rusher from Texas, they're going to be all right on defense for 3 years because there's that one dude who can get after the quarterback and shrink the plays. they don't have that, and that's concerning, and Ehlinger could run all over them and just get wacky. And the other concern to me is their quarterback, who at times I was like, oh, do I like this Stearns kid? And then you threw a pick and like almost let Iowa State back in the game. So he's really concerning. I'm going to buy a half point.
It is kind of odd to see an Oklahoma State team anchored by its defense.
Yeah. Is that the opponents they've played yet, though? Like,
that's... I've wondered the same thing, you know, it's not, out of all those big 12 contenders, they probably had the easiest slate so far.
Yeah.
Texas A&M, yeah, I mean, Tulsa, West Virginia, Kansas, Iowa State. So yeah.
Brock Purdy pads anyone's sense. As a draft pod, we know that. Okay, yeah. Ohio State, Penn State. I know Henry really, really kind of made Penn State sound unappealing, but this is still the matchup of the weekend. From a draft perspective, from a Broncos perspective, there's a ton of like top 20 picks. You've got Micah Parsons and Pat Friedmuth on the Penn State side, and you know, Ohio State. It's like the show's going to go long if I start listing all the dudes they have. So we'll do that organically as we all go through, this time in reverse order. Justin, you have Urban Meyer's phone number as a reliable CSU source. So what are your insights on this?
I think Ohio State wins this one rather easily. I like the talent that Penn State has, but I just think it comes down to the depth that Penn State has offensively right now. We already, you know, spent 5-10 minutes talking about the running backs, so I'm not going to go over that again.
Yeah.
But the reality is, you're not beating Ohio State unless you just pitch some miraculous defensive performance where, you know, you force a bunch of turnovers and get some pick sixes or something like that. Or, you know, you just score like 70 points and outscore them. And I don't really see either one of those situations happening on Saturday.
Yeah, and big test for, big test for both running games here, because Ohio State has to show some improvements off of.
And that's a great point too. If Penn State can shut down the run game, maybe they make it interesting. You force them to beat you with the passing game all night. You can play tight man coverage, make things tough on them. It'll be interesting, but then you got to worry about the quarterback running game, and Ohio State's just so good.
They're crazy good. Yeah, for sure. Jake,
I would be a lot more intrigued by taking Penn State if this were under normal circumstances and it was a wideout in front of the 100,000 in Beaver Stadium. But
absolutely,
since that is not the case, I think it's Ohio State pretty easily. Clifford didn't really give me anything. He didn't get me excited at all, really, about Penn State offensively. He turned the ball over too. I think that could be the case again. I mean, Sean Wade's on the other side, and he looked pretty good last week. I think it's Ohio State pretty easily here.
Henry?
Yeah. And I like what you said, Dre. It's about the Ohio State running game. That's what I want to see. I'm not worried about the passing game. They have two really good receivers. They have a great quarterback. But when it comes down to it at the end of the year, you're going to have to be able to run the ball. And if you can't run the ball in Nebraska, it's one game, but it's something to pay attention to.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see Ohio State's O-line. Thayer Munford, probably not talked about enough, but really intriguing left tackle. And he'll be tested by the edge rushers on Penn State. Always the big prospect. He wears a running back number, so number 28. You'll have fun watching him as a Broncos fan. And then, you know, Wyatt Davis is on that line, and you get to see Justin Fields and Chris Olave again. Chris Olave, another big test. We'll be interested to see him keep up the momentum he had. Yeah, I think it's Ohio State by, like, you'd have to set this at 16.5 for me to even consider Penn State in the plus money. So it's just going to be too low for me. And I agree. Shame that we don't get the whiteout on national TV, because that would change things for sure. I'm going to go, you know what? From a draft perspective, this is a nice matchup, if nothing else, because Missouri has one of the top linebackers in the country, Nick Bolton, I believe, against Kyle Pitts. That's going to be really nice tape for both those guys. I had a little bit of an empty void last week, not having Kyle Pitts catch multiple touchdowns in my life last week. It'll be nice to have the Gators back. And Missouri's been frisky against the spread. It's why the Gators are only 13-point favorites. We are taking too many favorites. This is a trap. At this point, I've already decided I will be sprinkling a Texas money line. Justin, you look like you've are you on Mizzou? Are you on Mizzou? Is that what you're telling me?
I think Missouri wins this game.
Whoa.
That's how bold I'm going.
I
love Kyle Pitts and I love the athletes that Florida has defensively, but that's it. I don't love anything else about them. And Missouri plays everyone hard. They're going to give up some points because defensively they have, you know, great linebacker play, but that's kind of about it. But yeah, I just think, I don't know. I'm just not that impressed by Florida. I think there's a good chance that they steal the upset here. I wouldn't bet like massive on it or anything, but hey, sprinkle some money on it. Give yourself a shot.
Yeah, I love this. Okay. Anyone else on the Mizzou train or is this Gators back on track?
I'm going to talk up the Gators here a little bit just for the fact that I think Missouri can be a bit leaky defensively. Alabama scored at will on them. I mean, Tennessee put up 35 and then LSU put up a lot of points. LSU, Terrace Marshall went off for like 11 receptions, 230 some yards in that game against them. So I would be a bit cautious about Pitts and Tony for Florida kind of making a lot of noise and potentially carrying them to a win. Although Florida with the letdown a couple weeks ago, and they haven't played after the COVID outbreak. So I think the spot is right for Missouri, and that would be why I would like them.
Because Pick is either going to get me brought back on the show every week or never invited back again. But that's okay. I'm going to roll with it.
We'll play this sound clip over and over if you're right.
I was kind of cooling off on Kyle Trask, but I just pulled up the game log again. It's like he's playing well. He is playing well.
But there's no anticipation.
Yeah.
There's no anticipation. He's just going to be eaten alive once he gets to the pros, if you ask me.
Probably. But still, completing 72% of his passes, 14 touchdowns and an interception. Like, I'm there with you watching him. I didn't think that the numbers would say what they say. But honestly, right now, I'm kind of questioning all my Florida takes. So I don't have, like, a firm pick here.
Well, Henry is shook. I don't know why off air I told you guys we would be talking BYU Boise State. I'm so excited to watch Zach Wilson against a legit team like Boise that I jumped the gun and didn't realize that's last week. And luckily I didn't say it on air. Shame I just blew my cover 2 seconds ago. Any other games you want to hit up, fellas, before we get out of here?
Cincinnati, Memphis, could be a very fun game.
Yeah,
I'm not necessarily sure that's, you know, a huge draft prospect game, but I think it could potentially be one of the more fun games of the weekend.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. That's a game. Cincinnati's ranked really highly. You know, they've got the old Ohio State interim coach and defensive coach for the longest time. I'm blanking on his name right now. But they're a well-coached team defensively, and they showed some really nice talent last week on offense as well. Of all the non-Power 5 teams that are ranked right now, I think BYU and Cincy are the two that are actually for real. And Memphis, you know, Memphis has been maybe not to the extent that Boise has, but Memphis has been one of those standard Bears, like a Temple, like a UCF, the last 5 years of, if you're a G5 school, this is where you need to prove yourself. So that'll be a fun one. I like that you pointed that out. Any other final notes for us? Yeah, go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, I've got two games just to talk a little bit about. North Carolina, Virginia. Again, this North Carolina backfield is the most fun backfield to watch in the country.
Yes.
Javonte Williams and Michael Carter had big games again last week. Yeah. They are awesome to watch. And real quick, we haven't talked about them a lot since their huge week one, but Mississippi State is visiting Alabama. Mississippi State has not looked good at all since that LSU game. This game could get very ugly very quickly.
Yeah, I think you are spot on. Also, KJ Costello, like RIP to his draft stuff.
Yeah.
Week one.
I will say Mike Leach teams seem to compete in dumb games that they have no business competing in.
That's
so
true.
As an Alabama guy, that does make me slightly nervous just because who knows, you know, what voodoo magic Mike Leach has cooked up this week.
I've got another one that'll probably be an end-to-end blowout. Mm-hmm. But it's an end-to-end blowout that I will be watching every second of intently, and that's Michigan State. See what those edge rushers can do against Mel Tucker's squad. Yeah. I am here for that.
100%. I mean, that's always, you know, the spread feels really big there for a rivalry game. Michigan should not overlook them, but another week of Milton will be fun. And I don't know if we've talked about them yet on the show, but just in general, prospect to keep an eye on more so than a game going forward is Marlon Williams, the wide receiver for UCF. He's quietly had a really nice game. I know the guys at the Draft Network have been talking him up with his 54 receptions, 753 yards, 6 touchdowns. He's a Mobile, Alabama kid, and he's 6 foot, 215 pounds. So one of those dudes that's kind of part of this new generation of wide receivers is wide receivers who are actually built like running backs and are just like tanks to bring down in the open field. He definitely fits that mold. So just wanted to shout that out and throw that out there. So
one more quick one on receivers built like running backs. No one has any idea, I guess, what's going on with Rondale Moore, mm-hmm. because Jeff Brohm was asked about him and didn't really give a good answer. Doesn't really know when he's coming back. To that point though, Purdue has another guy, David Bell. He's a sophomore, I believe. So look out for next year in 2022 draft. He looks pretty legit as well. So
Brohm's kind of run a sneaky good program over there. So that's a good note as well. All right. Well, it all hinges on the Missouri upset for Justin Michael returning to the show. But if this is the last we hear from you, we appreciate you, brother. It was nice having you on, and go Rams tonight. I can say it. No one else can. Well, Jake can.
Go Rams,
Henry,
sure.
Henry can night. There you go. Go Rams. Let's go. College football back in the state. Love it. And we'll catch you next time, fellas. Jay on the...